Ephesians chapter 6. Tony, any conflict sheets out there? Conflict sheets. Conflict sheets. We don't want conflict. Amen. Anybody need a conflict sheet? Anybody at all? Amen. All right. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. So once you found your place there, stand with me. We're going to talk about you and the children tonight. Shouldn't take long. Amen. Ephesians 6 and verse number 1. All of us have children. The Holmes have children. The Whites have children. Brother Neil, you got 5 children?
Four
children. Don't give me more than you need. Amen. The Whites have 2. Amen. The Leslies have 2. Andrea has 2. You guys have 2?
3.
Okay. And we've got 3. Amen. And so we all have experience in child rearing. So we're going to put our heads together tonight and to see what we can do to help the next generation. Ephesians 6. And we're going to read verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Ephesians 6. 1, 2, 3, and 4, dealing with this area of conflict. We know that we're going to have that, amen. And we're trying to minimize it as much as possible. So Ephesians 6, 1, 2, 3, and 4, read those with me together once you've got your place there. Here we go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Father, as we continue talking about the conflicts that we may have in our homes and in the house of God, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight and give us another blessing and encouragement from your word and help us to see a little clearer how we can be a blessing to the young people that are around us, Lord, whether they be grandchildren or nephews or nieces or even our own children, Lord, or maybe children in the church. Lord, help us to be a blessing to them. Well, thank you for what you've done already. And Lord, continue to help us to seek your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. You may be seated. We have talked extensively about conflict, and we talked about the definition of conflict, and we saw that. We then talked about the 5 different types of conflicts here. We have talked about 2 of them, and now we're going to talk about the 3rd one. And again, conflict, give you the definition here. It is a contest held in the assembly, if you're using the biblical definition. It is an effort or an anxiety or contention of the mind. It is a fight or a race as well. That's contention, and that's biblical. And we're looking at the 5 types here. And we did mention this. 2 main causes of conflicts, if they are remembered, conflict can be minimized. Number 1, and this goes for in the church or in the home, your purpose. Think about what your purpose is in the home, whether you're a male, whether you're a female, whether you're the husband, whether you're the wife, whether you're the son, whether you're the daughter. You have a purpose in the home. And many, if not most, of the conflicts in the home could be solved if we all know our purpose in the home and do our purpose. Also in the church, it's the same. And then we mentioned the 2nd cause of conflict is knowing our adversary. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So no one in your home is your enemy. No one at your job is your enemy. They may act like it, amen, but that's not your real enemy. Your real enemy is unseen, and he perpetrates so that you will get the wrong enemy. If we keep those 2 things in mind, fulfilling our purpose, and then recognizing that the real enemy is Satan, we will have a easier time dealing with conflicts. Amen. So with that said, we've talked about conflicts, you and another, conflicts, you and your mate. Now let's flip over to the middle, the back page there. Conflicts, you and your children. You and your children, that's what we're going to talk about today. Conflicts, you and your children. Let me ask this question. What do you believe gets most children in trouble with obedience? What do you believe gets most children in trouble with obedience? Now, it may be different from everybody.
Some kids are really strong-willed. Some things are strong-willed.
Some children have strong wills and they want to do their own thing. Some naturally, honestly, to their fault though, think they know better. They think they know better, honestly, really. I'm just being honest. Some think they know better than you. Now, whether they do or not, that doesn't matter. Amen. What do you think gets most children in trouble with obedience? Curiosity. Amen. I wonder what happens if. My mother said curiosity killed the cat and buried him too. And I had many cats buried. Amen. What else gets children in trouble with obedience? Terrell? They have more important things to do. Amen. To them is important. Amen. Brother Fred? Amen. Amen. And especially with television commercials. Jerry? Some of the major trouble that I got in was because of friends. Diana, can I get you, Faye? Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Faith. Amen. I think I had more foolish than the average child. Amen. Yes. Andrew? Mm-hmm. They just don't know that yet. Amen. Amen. Well put and well said. Amen. Yes, brother. Yeah. Amen. 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 And that is true. And that is listed here. Anything else? Well, what do you believe gets most children in trouble with obedience? Sin, of course, we know that. That's. And again, it's going to vary from child to child, but there's many reasons. One thing I find out is procrastination. I plan on doing it. I was going to do it. And then because their brains aren't as developed, what do they often do? They forget. And then what happens? You ask them to do what? Something else. And then what happens? This wasn't done. And then you say, why wasn't this done? Well, I forgot. Now I got to do this. And oftentimes they get in trouble, I believe, with obedience because they think they do know better. They think they do have the time. I do want to do this. I do want to please mom. However, as Terrell says, I have more important things to do right now. Video game. If I don't get this level, it may be over. I may never get there. Now, let me ask this question then. What is the number one problem that you see with their obedience and are dealing with that obedience? Terrell? Could be, amen, could be. Neil?
Our lack of consistency.
Lack of consistent response, Diana? A personal attack against mom.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Jerry.
Sometimes parents don't always agree, and instead of discussing that when children are around, children see that disagreeing, and it makes it easier for them to.
That's very true, Faye.
Sometimes, but sometimes me
Amen. 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 And that's going to come here in just a few minutes as well. Ms. Dawson? Amen. 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 Terrell? Lack of seriousness. And now all these are good answers, and I love these answers. With all of this, this is one thing that I see. What is the main problem with the parent trying to get the child to obeying and the child not obeying and dealing with that conflict? Time. It takes time. It takes time. It takes time. And patience. And we're in a rush society. And to explain to the child and to take the time and to rationalize with them on their level takes time. It takes time. How many of us have that kind of time? The real time that it really requires. We really don't have that time. And you have to make that time and take that time. And one thing that we all know, time does not stand still and it doesn't wait. It doesn't wait. And so oftentimes, I remember hearing early preachers talk about sometimes they would miss church to stay home and deal with an issue. And there's been times that I had to be late because I had to deal with an issue. And I'm thinking, hey, we're just going to have to be late. We've got to deal with this. We've got to deal with this. Somebody said it lovingly, Pastor White, patiently, correctly. We can't just rush out of this. Yes, Diana? And that goes right back to what we talked about. We've got to recognize our purpose, our purpose. There's a purpose for everybody in the church, and there's a purpose for everybody in the home. And if everybody does their purpose, it'll be smooth. But guess what? We shirk the responsibilities of the purpose due to the time constraints that we fall under, and then we've got disaster. Let me give you a couple thoughts here tonight about this here. You know, because just looking at the title, it seems that not much needs to be said here about conflict between you and your children. Children just need to obey. However, you know, if you've raised children, you know it goes deeper than that. You know it goes deeper than that. Children, should they obey? Yes, they should be. Yes, yes, we know that they should obey. But it goes deeper than that. And let me give you this, sir. There are two basic ways we're going to raise our children to obey. Number one, we're going to do what the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In other words, we're not going to provoke them unnecessarily. We're going to raise them up in the nurture, dealing with the care and admonition, dealing with the correction of the Lord. We're going to do that properly. That takes time. That takes time. We're not going to arbitrarily assert our authority over them. That's what it's talking about there, about the fathers provoking the children to wrath, getting on them all the time and berating them. It's going to take some time, some loving. And by the way, how can we avoid not provoking children to wrath? And by the way, why does it say fathers? And why doesn't it say mothers? Derek? Right. Amen. And that's true. But why the father and not the mother? Black and white. Oftentimes, the ladies are more understanding, more forgiving, where the dads are. Yes, Heidi. And that is true, and we should. And fathers normally will be accused of being tougher on the children. They call it tough love. Than the mother, nor oftentimes, not always the case, but oftentimes the case. But he says, don't do that, but we can needlessly get on them. How can we avoid needlessly getting on them? The Bible gives a real good solution. Somebody hit on it about foolishness. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction. We take too long to use the rod. And God said, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive fire. We take too long. Terrell, I'll count to three. One, two, two and a half, two and three quarters, two and three sixteenths. Three never comes. But and then we get on them again and 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 again, 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 again. And before long, you know, it didn't have to come to that. Pop them the first time. And guess what? They learn obedience. And so whose fault is it oftentimes? Children aren't dumb. They know what they can get away with. They know when the answer means business and when the answer doesn't mean business. Boy, don't ask me no more. Please, please, please. I said don't ask me no more. Please, please, please. I said please, please, please. Don't ask me no more. Okay. But if I'd have done that the first time, guess what? Not scream. Now, what does this normally take? It takes some love. It takes some time. And it takes the Bible application, line upon line, precept upon precept, here, there, here a little, there a little. It all takes that. So the Bible way is by far the only way that's going to be profitable. But then number two, there's a second way. This is the second way we raise our children. And oftentimes, it's the way we were raised or not raised. The way we were raised or not raised. What do I mean when I say that? We do the comparison method. We take the positive of how we were raised, and if we like it, we apply that to our children. We take the negative that we didn't like, and we say, I'm not going to apply that to my children. I had a coworker one time. He said, I was raised strict with this and this. I couldn't have any of that. So he went just the opposite and spoiled his kids rotten and gave them everything they wanted. Candy galore, their teeth rotted. I mean, it was just terrible. I'm serious. Their teeth, I'm serious. He said, I'm not going to raise my kids the way I was raised. I was deprived of this, this, this. I'm going to give them everything. Gave them everything. And I tell you what, it was a nightmare. And oftentimes, that's what we do. We raise our children the way we were raised. And whether it's positive or negative, the positive things we apply and the negative things we don't apply. And that's what happens. What are some things that are wrong with raising our children to obey the same way we were raised to obey? How many of y'all got y'all hair combed like I did? That's not fun. I wouldn't encourage anybody to do that. What's wrong with raising our children the way we were raised to obey? Diana? Amen. 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 And by the way, as Diana says, certain things, electricity is non-forgiving. So there's certain things they should fear. But God is the primary one they should fear. They should reverence God, but not out of a terrified thing. And so there are certain things wrong with raising our children to obey the same way we will raise. I mean, it's just, if it's not the Bible way, it's not going to be profitable nor glorifying for God. And that's one thing we've got to understand with that. And you take this into consideration as well. If we apply the positive things that work for us and we don't apply the negative things that work for us, there's a real problem with that. And here's the problem. Our children aren't us. Your children are not you. They're different from you. So if you apply the positive things that work for you, guess what? It may not work for them. If you don't apply the negative things to them that didn't work for you, it might work for them. But the best way is God's way. Children, obey your parents and the Lord. We know that. He said, for this is right, honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long with the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We understand that, and we ought to do that. But to revert back to raising them the way we were raised is not going to work, because they're not us. And by the way, they are not us. They are different. And I wrote this down. As parents, we must listen and observe, because each child is different. I think somebody said that. We can't expect one to respond exactly as the other. In obedience, yes, but how they obey is going to be different because of their reasoning, because of their understanding, because of their learning, their perceiving, and their reasoning. You can't expect the 16-year-old to respond the same way as the 6-year-old. In obedience, yes, but how they're going to obey is going to be different. And so when it comes down to their mental and discerning capacities, it's going to vary. And just like us, we've got, like the men have to dwell with the wives according to knowledge, we have to learn our children. What does that all take? Time. Time. It takes time. And by the way, generation gap. How many of y'all know about the generation gap? That came out in the 1960s with the baby boomers. How many of y'all born in the 1960s? Even if you're in late 1950s as well, amen. The baby boomers. This is what the generation gap is all about. It's a difference of outlook or opinion between people of different generations regarding beliefs, politics, music, or values. That's all it is, generation gap. Difference of outlook or opinion between people of generations regarding beliefs, politics, music, or values. We don't find generation gap in the Bible. That's something that we made up. Why don't we find generation gap in the Bible? Difference in age, yeah, okay, yes. But again, why don't we find generation gap in the Bible? True. Well, yes, I mean, that's true. The main thing you're going to find is that we have let society dictate to us what we do. We have bought into this fast-paced life. You go over to Europe, Belgium, Germany, the lifestyle is totally different. The families sit down together, they eat, they take their time, they go to a restaurant, they take about 3 hours in the restaurant, the families are over there having a good old time. They take their time. It's about family. We have lost that perspective altogether. Diana? Mm-hmm. And piggybacking what Diana said, this is what they say about the generation gap. The generation gap is normally due to the breakdown of ages between the youth, the midlife, and the retirement age interacting in their own circles and not interacting with each other. But back in the days, everybody sat down around the table. Grandma, who was retired, and Pa, who was retired, with the children, with Mom and Dad, we all sat down at the same table. And so it says when these groups get alone, they only have their own ideas. The youth have their ideas, the midlife have their ideas, and now the retired have their ideas, and there's never a sharing of those ideas. That is contrary to what the Bible teaches. The Bible says teach them, train them, work with them, have them. And so when you look at this generation gap, there's something that we made up, but we've let society dictate to us what happens. By the way, the children that are being raised today, do they see things the way you and I saw things? What's the number one reason why? Families are pulled apart, what do you say? Lack of both parents, that's true. That's true.
Well, they have a lot more things we didn't have, so we were raised a little different. We didn't have technology like this.
Whereas we had local influence socially, they have global influence socially. And so they're getting influences from pagans from around the world. This Yu-Gi-Oh!, this Pokemon, all that, they're getting global input from you. So when you sit down to talk to them, you're a world way apart from the world that they live in. When you and I were coming up, we grew up in an age of TV and radio media primarily from local influences. Our children are growing up in the age of global social media, worldwide influences, and we must understand and comprehend where they're coming from by the grace of God to understand them, or we will go into the proverbial generation gap. Because their world is totally expansive compared to our world that we used to be in. Ms. White? And it is. It really is. You know, I got indoctrinated this way back when I first got out of the military, and they stopped having interviews where you actually walk in and pick up an application, and you sit down and talk to somebody face to face. And they said, well, we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You don't do that anymore. When do we stop doing that? How do you know I could be some, you know, Adolf Hitler person coming into here and you hired me off the spot? I thought, wait a minute. You know, and I understand the time and all that, but, you know, our children are growing up in that world where you don't have to go in and be personable with anybody. You don't have to see anybody. You don't have to talk. You don't have to know diplomacy. Look at our president. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just can't understand. I've said it many times. I don't understand how many of these selfies you actually need.
So we can suffice it to say that the generation of now is different than it was when we came up. Most of us didn't like to have photos of ourselves because we thought, man, I don't look that good. Well, I'll take enough of them. I'll make sure one is good. Amen. But,
they used to have those ones that pop out.
The Polaroids. Amen. So So what am I saying here? Conflicts between us and our children are really breeding because our worlds are being pushed apart, and we have got to bridge that gap and bring that back in by doing things the Bible way. Notice what it says down there on the sheet there. Children obey, but it is natural to what? Disobey. It is natural for us to disobey. He said, this is a scriptural command just to children. Train up a child the way that he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. There is a difference in teaching and training. Teaching is from your head to their heads. Training is from your hands to their hands. Teach is to inform. Train is to instruct. We found out now we don't have to teach. We don't have to train because there's YouTube. There's Google.
Yeah.
Oh, Google that and you can find out how to do that. Wait a minute. They still need us to teach them some things. You know, say, well, I don't know how to do it. Well, you better get on Google and find out and then teach them. I don't want Google to usurp my authority as a dad and teach them everything they need to know. Amen. There are certain things I can teach. Amen. There are certain things I can do, but now Google it. So we have been just stepped to the side because now somebody on YouTube can teach them. Somebody on Google can do this and everybody else can do this. And so now we as a parent don't get the respect. Nor do they have the reverence because now we don't need you because we can get it on social media. And so when you look at this, it, you know, he says that a teach is to inform, train is to instruct, train up at each level of life as they grow. By the way, as they get older, should they become less dependent upon you? Yes, that's growing up. That's maturity, but not as a six-year-old. I don't want to usurp that, give that authority away as a six-year-old and so quickly. Notice some helpful thoughts here, and then we're going to be done. It takes only 9 months to have a child, but it takes a lifetime to be parents. Man, I don't know about you. I'm a pastor, but I still call my parents for advice. I still call my parents for their thoughts on this or that or the other. I still talk to them and say, what do you think about this? You say, preacher, but you're a pastor. And I don't have all the experience in the world. I don't know everything. There are certain things that my parents know that I don't know as a pastor or a man of God. Well, so why neglect what they know and what they have to pass that up when it's available? Parents are responsible for the spiritual ways their children should go. The church, Christian school, or youth leader is not responsible. The greatest gift you can give your children is yourself. They need more than things. What do they need? Time. The main problem with the generation gap is time. It takes time. I watched the way the Europeans did things and I thought, wow, we have missed the boat. Their kids are all with them and they join up. Not everybody, one over here and one over here and one over there and one over here, all in front of a screen. They got together and they stayed together. And everybody didn't rush off to a screen to watch. And boop, 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 boop. Yes. We did too. We ate all the bread. Wasn't hungry no more. So, and that's true. They sat there and they talked, they chatted 3 hours. And so time is what it takes. Notice what it says down there. Parents, learn to listen to the needs of your children. What may seem small to you could be very big to them. Even a video game. And my children work hard to get to these levels. And I say, turn that thing off. But Daddy, we turn off, we're not going to save anything. Well, as long as you save, that's good enough. Amen. Turn that thing off. No, I got to be a little bit more understanding. And sometimes I turn it off. It's just a game anyway. And they spent hours laboring on this thing and days trying to get, all right, an hour here, 15 minutes here, 20 minutes here. Now we're at this level. If we cut it off now and don't save it, click. Dad, oh, that took us 2 years to get to that level. Well, I'm sorry. Amen. Yes. Amen. The big little problem, and that is very true. And with that said, notice what it says down there. Seek to solve and prevent problems before they become unsolvable. If I don't get it early on and nip it in the bud, it's going to get to the point where I can't even solve it anymore. Both parents should agree on all policies, rules, regulations with the children. Never side with the child against the other parent. That's a big no-no. Mom and dad don't play favorites when it comes to that. Seem to be parents, not popular. They already have friends, but only two parents. Your life speaks louder than your lessons. That is true. Children should always have a home they can run to in times of storm. And I would add to that, keep the doors open. You can disagree with your children without being ugly or upset. And you don't have to always be right. As a parent, I know we always want to be right, but sometimes we're going to be wrong. Admit it when you are and say, you know, I was wrong. I was wrong. And so there are some things that we can do to cut down on conflict with children, whether they're grandchildren, whether they're nephews or nieces or whatever. The bottom line is this. We're going to either do it God's way or we're going to do it our way. And the Bible says that we need to train up a child in the way that he should go. The Bible says, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How am I going to do that? Time. Spend some time. We can avoid that generation gap because it quickly takes over. And once it takes over, it's hard to get that thing back. It's hard. They will trust their gathering and grouping of friends more so than they will trust your judgment. And it's hard to get that back. Let's work hard at the conflict that comes between us and our children. Should they obey? Yes. But we've got to be understanding. Use the rod. That's what it's there for. But at the same time, hear them out. Listen. Encourage. Work with them. Their world is totally different than our world. Our children have Becca DVDs that they're... I couldn't dream of going to a school when I was a kid. I'd have loved it, but it didn't even cross my mind. You go see a teacher, you sit there and you look at her. If you don't do right, she beat you. It's not like that. No, they can't even touch you. We had no discipline problems in our school other than the normal foolishness that the boys did. Why? Teachers would beat you. They would beat you. And then when you got home, your mother would beat you. And you say, were you a good student? No, that's why I got beat, amen. But I did pass, amen. It can be done, amen. Conflicts, you and your children. Children should obey, yes. But we've got to seek to understand them and where they live. And oftentimes we forget where they're living and where their world is all about, amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Lord, help us to do things the Bible way. Lord, it's so easy to revert back to the way we were raised, the way we were trained and employ that, but our children are not us, and they're going to respond differently. Lord, whether it's a niece or nephew or grandson or granddaughter, Lord, someone in our care that we have to take care of, Lord, help us to employ the Bible way, nurture and admonition, Lord, care and correction. Lord, the leading and guiding and directing and being a witness to them of the grace and the goodness of God. And help each and every one of us, Lord, to do our part to be what you would have us to be. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Lord, dismiss us with your blessings and help us to have a fruitful remainder of this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor White, come on, give us what we need. Not much. Don't forget, pray for Brother Jimmy Pierre for Sunday night.